you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks for asking, yeah.
Good news, good news. You are back on tour at the moment,
yeah.
You have got a smattering of Yorkshire in there. You're going to see you at the Barnsley Civic on Thursday the 21st of April. But even before that, on the 24th of March, you're at Halifax Victoria Theatre, your new show, Punchlines. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's my fifth tour of this, and I just needed a theme for it. I'm on stage for about 2 hours, and it just link it all together, because I'm of that age that I can just lose track quite easily. You know, I'm at that age where I get halfway upstairs and don't know if I'm going up or coming down. So I got this idea from, believe it or not, I took my gran to casualty quite a while ago. It's a long story. Somebody phoned her up when she was ironing. But we were in casualty. That's not true. But I was in casualty, and I was reading one of these little, you know, Reader's Digest books. It was talking about the brain being a pattern-making machine.
Yeah.
And it said, that's why once you've heard a story, you've heard it, and it's stored away, and you've got the story, you've got the conclusion. And then just as a by the by, it said, that's why we don't laugh at jokes the second time round, because we know them, the pattern's been complete, we know the punchline, and so we don't laugh. We're ahead of the teller, if you like.
Yeah.
So I thought, I wonder if I could challenge that. I wonder if I could give an audience a few punchlines right at the beginning of the show, and I do this by projecting them on the big screen, and I do it again in the interval, and I say, in the second half of the show, I'm going to come on straight away after the interval, and I'm going to do the jokes that go with those punchlines, and you're still going to laugh. In fact, you're going to laugh loud and hard. That's my promise. That's my premise, to be honest with you. And then I spend the rest of the show looking at what are punchlines in a very broadest sense, and very tenuous links to a lot of like newspaper headlines, which I consider punchlines, and song lyrics that demand punchlines, and then I come on and do them, and it works. It was brilliantly well.
It sounds like you're turning into Derren Brown, predicting what people are going to do in the future.
Oh, it sounds a bit worthy, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like that. It sounds a bit analytical, but it's not really. It's not. It's I think what it is, and there's a bit of luck involved for me, because I think it works better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And it's because I think when people read the punchlines that are flash on the screen and bombard them with them, I think that they read them in their own voice, if you know what I mean. I think they have their own interpretation, their own intonation and emphasis and rhythm of that punchline. So when I do it, it still comes out of the blue. It still comes as a punch, which is a shock, but that's the definition of a punchline. Because if I just did the jokes, they'd be ahead of me. But because I then analyse the ways that I can use to distract and to lead them to misinterpret, you know, what I'm saying, basically. And I think, you know, at the end of it, it just really, really, it's surprisingly good.
I would imagine you've tested the show out a few times, and that's before you go on tour. And the reaction's been pretty good to this.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's, as I said, it's better than I thought. I thought what had happened would be that with a cross-section of the audience, they'd start getting it at different points, and I'd get a ripple of laughter. And that occurs on a couple of them. But for, on the whole, like, hundreds of people just don't get it until they're at the end. It's really surprised me. Because, obviously, I jumble them up. I've got about six or seven or maybe eight some nights. And so, obviously, they don't know which punchline goes with which joke. And so I think they're trying to fit, as I'm telling the story, they're trying to fit a punchline onto it, and quite often getting the wrong one.
Dave, I wanted to talk to you because I'd spoken to a few people recently, and they've been on Celebrity Mastermind, which you are one of the Celebrity Mastermind alumni, yeah. I think you would call them. Yeah. It's always interesting to see what subjects people take as their specialist subjects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your specialist subject was blood.
Human blood.
Okay.
I had a bit of an in on that because, what it was, I worked in haematology, so that's the science of the disease of the blood. I worked in haematology for 30 years. And when they came to the mastermind, they said, what would you like to do? Can you think of something unusual? And I think they may have been unaware of my past.
Right.
So I said, I'd like to do the red blood cell, because it is a fascinating cell. I could talk for hours, I won't, about the red blood cell. It's a wonderful cell that we couldn't live without, that carries oxygen and carbon dioxide and helps us with our respiration. But it doesn't respire itself. It's got no nucleus. It's effectively what you might define as a dead cell, basically. But it lives for 100 days. Anyway, boring. But so I said, I want to do the red blood cell. And this researcher said to me, oh, I don't know, it's a bit narrow. No, no, it's narrow. It's microscopic, love, never mind narrow. So then they came back to me and said, Luke, what if you do human blood in all its glory? And I said, yes. And at the time, it was, I thought I'd just shot myself in the foot here, because I know about hematology. I know all about the disorders of the blood and the blood cells and what the composition of the blood. But I don't know anything about the immunology of it, the biochemistry of it. You know, if you start asking me about all the different, you know, chemicals and the normal ranges for, like, you know, all these weird and wonderful gamma-glutamyl transferases and all these wonderful enzymes in the blood that indicate heart disease and stuff, I'd be a bit lost. So I had my fingers crossed, really. But as it turned out, as you say, it went very well in the end.
It went very well. You won.
Yes, I did. I did. I did remarkably well, really. And on the general knowledge, I don't know whether they dumb it down for us celebrities. I hate that word, celebrities, by the way. But I don't know. But no, it's still too big. I got over 30, I think. I think 32 or something like that.
That's pretty good going, isn't it? That's
yeah.
Not good, bad going at all. We can't not talk a bit of Phoenix Nights, which one of the best things ever, really. And Jerry Sinclair, one of the best comedy creations of all time.
Yeah, I'm lucky with that, yeah.
It really was. I mean, I was lucky enough to get some tickets to go and see the live stuff that you did over in Manchester for Comic Relief. That must have been great fun, that, bringing it all back.
It was, I get goosebumps. It sounds very twee, that. I honestly know, I get goosebumps thinking about it. It was the most wonderful thing for all sorts of reasons. I mean, as you say, it's got into the hearts of people, especially from the north, but all over, really, to be fair.
Yeah.
And people love it. And to get 15,000 people in a night for 16 nights, you know, and walking onto the stage, putting Jerry's jacket on, the white jacket on, and the Dickie one for the first time in years, and just going on singing like Bin Bags and Brimful of Asher, and having 15,000 people doing all the actions to on the 45, Brimful of Asher. It was just the most wonderful thing. And backstage, you know, with the crew again, and with the cast again, it was fantastic. And we picked up. I know it's a cliche. We picked up as if we left off, really, as if nothing had ever. We'd not had those 10 years, 15 years gap in between meeting, you know. So, it was the most best. It was the best time I've had, I think.
I don't think I can do my shopping in the Asda without singing the Black Bin Bag song as you go past that aisle.
You can imagine me. My local shop, I've just been now, is Asda. And, yeah, I mean, every time I'm in there, somebody comes up as if it's the first time I've ever been asked it. Hey, Dave, we're at Black Bin Bags. I'm like, you are so funny. I've never heard that before. I said, to be honest with you, I don't know whether they've changed all the aisles around again. Why did they do that? it took me 3 circuits. Find me toilet, Doc. Honestly, I have no idea.
You can catch Dave in Halifax, and he's going to be there the 24th of March at the Victoria Theatre. If you see him in the Asda, ask him where the Black Bin
Please
Bags
do.
Are.
Or the corned beef. With chips always salad.
Dave Spikey, thank you so much for joining
thank you.
Us.
Cheers, Dan.